Hello and welcome to episode 598 of the League Rundown. This is your 2026 LEC and LCS Playoffs Week 3 review, and it's lovingly entitled Best in the West. I'm your host, Kangas, and I'm joined by two esteemed co-hosts. Up first, we have fresh out of the can, it's Badger.
Shit, I should have thought of something witty to say there. I was thinking, oh, it could have been an email, but then I realized, no, that was the last week's games. This week's games were actually kind of exciting.
This is specifically LEC's finals were very, very exciting. And, you know, the title is alluding to, you know, two best players in the West, which each won their respective finals. A little teaser right there. But we also have joining us to chat all about the finals weekend, Mr. Mazel PL.
Hello. Excited to be talking about League of Legos.
Hell yeah. And happy to have you on to give us an LPL update. It has been a minute since we've caught up on what's going on. And you are, my friend, the last region to determine the teams going to first stand. So
you
I'm sure
we wouldn't have it any other way, am I right?
Yeah. We're going to save a lot of first hand conversation for next week because first hand starts about a week and a half from now. But we can still get the update on what playoffs are looking like in LPL. And then also, we're going to cover all of LEC and LCS finals weekend, along with some America's Cup, which is happening this week. And also, part of the reason why this episode is going to be coming out a little later than usual. Just because of scheduling. I'm on America's Cup. There's a lot of stuff going on this week, so we are recording this Thursday night, a couple nights after when we normally would. So thanks for sticking with us, everybody. And also, welcome all the new viewers. I was recently checking our metrics and didn't realize that the listener base has grown a bit ever since this past offseason where we were sponsoring the duos race that David Shinock was putting on. We actually had a lot of people come and start listening. We saw a big uptick from that. So welcome everybody that's started listening to the podcast. With that being said, let's talk about some global news before we get into the finals weekend. Up first, Badger, there's a new project just announced this past week. A specific type of project over in the LEC. You want to talk about it?
Yeah, so came out yesterday about early afternoon on the East Coast. The project formerly known as Los Ratones is now under a new name with a couple of new pieces. So the team is now called Witchcraft. It is four of the five members of Los Ratones with Yamato and Shaves still as the coaches. But instead of Baus playing top lane, it's Bwipo.
Oh, somehow he returned.
He has returned. And and in a Q&A kind of stream after this all went live, Cadril said that he's taking a step back. He's not really involved with the project.
Yeah, big bummer that Cadril will not be involved, and also that they're changing the name. It's not going to be Los Ratones anymore. That YouTube channel has a lot of followers on it. The brand had a lot of power behind it, even just from 1 year. But seems like the players still want to compete, but if Cadril's not interested in being involved, they're going to do it under a new banner, the Witchcraft Project. What do you think of the name, Mazel? Is it cool? Is it badass? I think it's like, I don't know. I'm undecided on it right now.
I think the logo and color scheme is pretty cool. I think the name's kind of eh. And also the roster is.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the logo, actually. Let me see. Is it... Aha, I see. It's just Nemesis in a hat. And that is the logo also. It's like a little guy, like a little ghoul, little ghosty dude in a wizard hat. Okay. You know,
Just don't know. I don't know. I mean, Bwipo came out and like talked about how he's like being better and whatnot. I don't know. I think they made a mistake by signing Bwipo. It could have gotten so many other top laners, I feel like.
Yeah,
it is interesting that they went for that one. I will say he's still a great player. So in terms of like, if they're trying to be competitive, it makes sense. But if they're trying to be like a stream community team, does not make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm unsure, like what the goals of this team is. But hey, they got 21,000 followers in 24 hours from their first tweet that came out yesterday. They're already making waves here. So they will definitely be a popular team, to say the least. But again, no Cadrill. No
bring
Cadrill
back Bouse. Screams. Bring back Bouse.
I wish he was still willing to compete. I'm sad that guy only had the 1 year in him, but also respect his decision.
Honestly, yeah, respect for it is the big thing because
it's the right way to go.
It's mm-hmm. it's a good way to go.
You got a good
and his stream
platform.
Is going to be
why not?
Bumping now. Yeah. You know, like mm-hmm. his solo queue streams are going to be
makes
awesome
so much more money and way less stress.
Yeah, he showed that he can compete, but now he doesn't have to keep, you know, grinding.
Never lost.
I think they did lose a couple, but, you know,
but,
we'll
yeah,
give it
the sentiment is there.
Another bit of news that happened, roster news specifically in Tier 2 here in North America. Mazel, a little bittersweet story dropped. You want to talk to us about NRG's shift in the top lane?
Yeah, so Zamudo will be starting for the NRG project now, which is awesome. He finally gets to actually play the video game that we've been waiting for him to play for a long time. But unfortunately, it does come at the cost of the next up-and-rising top laner in Hoarder, as he was signed to the team and was let go right before they started scrims and started yeah. practicing for the season, which will be coming up in a couple, like 3 or 4 weeks. It sucks that you know, a really nice perspective top laner is taking the place of another one when we have so many import slots in the LCS and all this stuff going on. It would be nice to be able to see them all get a shot, and I hope to God that Hoarder finds another team of some sort, of some yeah. caliber, not some shitter team, because that guy deserves the world. He is an insane top laner. He is incredibly mechanically gifted and loves to play all the meta top laners that are being played right now. And I know he was pretty upset about the news because he found out through the posts and immediately afterwards. So I think
trying to
figure out how he moves forward.
I didn't know that. That it sucks.
That's really sucks. What the hell?
And so I just hope he lands on his feet. It's awesome for Zamudo. I don't think anybody should look down on Zamudo. It's not his fault, right? Like it's the org's fault. But in the grand scheme of things, I hope they both land spots and I hope they both look good because I really think that they could both end up in LCS at some point.
Yeah. Damn, that's unfortunate to find out through a tweet that you're not going to be on a team that you're expecting to. And yes, I got the same sentiment. That's why I said kind of bittersweet is like, it's cool that Zamudo gets another shot. Not cool that Hoarder, it's at his expense. So definitely hoping that Hoarder is able to find something. And also, in case anybody was like, wait, NRG, they're back? Yeah, I think we talked about it last week, but they have announced that they're coming back into Tier 2 League of Legends. They were purchased by, it was Dark Zero, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the new parent company for NRG. The entire brand was purchased alongside all of their holdings. And one of those happens to be CLG. So if anybody that listens to the pod is in the CLG Discord and saw a post that I had made in there requesting that the mods tag everybody in the old CLG Discord, it's because there was a big push that, hey, NRG's coming back, but we might be able to convince them to be CLG instead. That's what that post was about. We were unable to do so. Me and one of the LCS producers, Manny, we're making an effort to try and actually sit down with the new Dark Zero folks and be like, CLG has a better brand in League of Legends than NRG does, even though NRG globally have a bigger brand across multiple esports. We think for that reason you should do CLG for their Tier 2 and resurrect the brand. Would have been awesome. They were not interested, unfortunately. They were pretty dead set in using NRG. But yeah, there we have it. Some roster news over in EU Tier 2. Some roster news here in NA in Tier 2. Also, one fun variety topic that happened. I saw this post on socials on the LoL Esports social media page. I don't know if you guys have seen it in the doc yet, but I'm just going to pretend that you haven't. Take a guess. Globally, they put out the top five players that have the most unique champion picks of all time in their entire history. Who's
I know,
number one? What do you think?
Faker.
Well, it's Faker's
Faker.
One,
I know who's number two.
Yeah, who's number two?
Fladra, the old Snake Man.
Hell yeah. Wait, old Snake Man? Why is he the
His
old
original
Snake
team was Snake Esports.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, that's pretty funny. I didn't
Back
know that.
In 2013.
Okay. The old Snake Man. Oh, my God.
I don't know why
for that
Zhao,
one.
Who was the first one that came to mind for me. But
unfortunately, he's not even in the top five. Do you want to guess who's number three, though?
Is it Showmaker?
It might surprise you. Tally.
Oh,
who, from my understanding, is like Tallywhacker, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's the Oceanic player, mm-hmm. which is very funny that he's in top three with 78 unique champions picked. Then it's
O's. Come on,
Tay is number four. Yeah, true. O's, it's crazy down there. I don't know who Tay is. T A Y. It sounds super familiar, but it doesn't like jump out to me.
I also feel like I should know the name, but it's not jumping out to me as well.
Let me check Tay Leaguepedia. Who is Tay?
He's from Brazil.
Oh, yes. Mm. There we go. That is a Brazilian player. Yeah, I played for Payne, then INTZ, then Loud, Flamengo, back to INTZ. Yeah, that makes sense.
God, okay. Just looking at his record of where he played and what he played is hurting my brain right now.
Oh, my God. You're right. Mid lane,
he went
jungle,
from mid lane
bot,
to sub for bot lane, to playing bot lane, then to sub for jungle, then to be a jungle, then to went to top lane, then went back to jungle, then went back to top lane, then went to coaching, then went back to
That's
top lane.
Hilarious.
What the hell,
okay,
bro?
It's actually making my brain now hurt. Please stop. I have a...
That's incredible. That doesn't make sense then that he would be in the top five because, you know, you played multiple. Yeah.
Played every role possible. You'd play the janitor for the team.
But one player that has not played other roles, rounding out the top five, is Caps at 76. So awesome, we got
that. You know, that makes sense too. Yeah,
yeah. Caps played everything for Fnatic and then G2. So yeah, Faker at 87, Flandre at 85, Tally at 78, Tay at 77, Caps at 76. And with that said, Faker has officially played more than half of the available League of Legends champions.
Nice.
Congratulations, Faker.
Congratulations.
That's crazy.
Wild.
That's crazy. Dude, just like thinking about the pure numbers just breaking my brain. That's just something fun that I saw, so I wanted to throw it in there. But because we have Mr. Mazel PL joining us, I would love it if you could run us through what's going on in the LPL playoffs, as they are the last region to lock in playoffs and who
Save
will be
the
representing
best for
them
last.
First stand. Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, so it's been pretty interesting. We just had some big developments last night, but two nights ago, BLG were the first team to lock in a first stand appearance for our first international tournament of the year for League of Legends. They will be in the finals now after they took down JDG 3-2. We have a big series coming up tomorrow night, but before we get to that, the series that happened last night on Wednesday was... Weibo versus AL, and in all rights and contests, AL should have won that series. Weibo, off the back of a pretty incredible run already in the lower bracket, took them down 3-1, rather, and it was a Warwick jungle in game number 4 that ended up winning against Tarzan's Moondone. Tarzan was the MVP of the split. There was no slouching there, and I don't think this series was his fault at all. Elk is just a... meta human. I don't know what else to say about it. He has just turned it on.
That
for the playoffs.
Guy is pretty good at the game.
He has been insane. There was a stat during the regular season which was really cool. He had the top 4 most kills in games throughout the entire regular season. So, like, if you go to goal, it'll tell you like most kills in a game, and it will give the player and the champion. All 4 of them were on Kai'Sa, and it was like 22, 18, 17, 16, 15, or something along those lines. It was actually ridiculous, and he's turning it up now. I find it funny because there's a lot of narrative going on in the last couple series here. JDG, obviously, would have been cool for them to face off against AL, would have been another top 8 bowl, but AL had faltered, and it was a massive upset, I feel like, for Weibo. But now they have to face against JDG, who have been up and down in records against them and have given them a little bit of trouble here or there, so it'll be a really fun storyline. But the big storyline I'm following is if Elk can make it to finals and face off against BLG, his old team, the team that abandoned him for the Korean hyper carry Viper. And he's been playing like a bat out of hell. I don't know what's possessed this man. I don't know if it's because he wants to go face BLG or what, but he's putting down crazy numbers and crazy team fights. His mechanics are insane. And tomorrow night, we will decide our second first stand representative, either JDG or Weibo. Can the CFO duo make it back to first stand is the question on everybody's mind in Junja and Hongqiu in the mid lane. But also a little side narrative. It's Jiejie versus Junja once again. The EDG world champion jungle duo. Jiejie has always had Junja's number. And he has been on one. There was a tweet that surfaced a year ago that was like, there's only three junglers that know what the smite key does, and it's like Owner, Clear Love, and JJ. And he has been smiting smite fights like an absolute menace over these last couple series. He has had literally nice. Game-defining smite fights, and he's been incredible. So I wonder what Junzi is going to be cooking up, because I think JJ is on fire right now, and all of Weibo should make it to finals.
Well, I know I'm cheering on Hankyu, so I would love to see that guy back.
not biased stage. Or anything like that. You know, after we said that CFO was going to be, you know, in world finals last year, and then
this past like calendar year, we have had some takes of all time, man. Like this, oh boy.
And that's what keeps the listeners coming back, or you know, have them run for the hills once they hear, you know.
That's a good point, actually. We do at the very least offer unique opinions on the leaks. All right, cool. Well, thank you, Mazel, for the LPL update. Awesome to see. We'll be watching tomorrow night to see who is going to be the last team representing LPL at First Stand. And a reminder for everybody, go follow LPL Unofficial. It's going to be LPL English on Twitter and on Twitch, so go check it out. Go check it out on YouTube as well. Subscribe to the channel. Check out the VODs if you don't want to stay up all night watching the live stream. Any amount of clicks will help them out. It's an awesome project, and we're honored to have Mazel, who's one of the spearheads for the project, on our podcast to kind of update us on LPL week in, week out. But with that being said, it's time to hop in and talk about the leagues that we cover primarily on this pod, and that is the Western Leagues. We got LEC, we got LCS Finals, and we're going to start in North America. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we saw the lower bracket finals. Lower bracket semis, lower bracket finals, and then the grand finals. And oh boy, C9, they were undefeated going into that grand finals. They were the big dogs, the top dogs. But what's a dog to a lion, baby? Because that was the story of the weekend. Mazel, I want to hear your thoughts first. Just tell us, everybody, in case they weren't able to catch any of the games, what happened this past weekend in the lower semis, lower finals, and then in the finals?
Well, first of all, I just had to like scratch my eyes, make sure, just a little bit. Cause like, are you sure that that's not NRG? Like, are we like super sure it wasn't? It's literally like a carbon copy story of NRG, but for Lia this time around. I love to see it. it was incredible. I think it's started off with a little bit of a toughie if you're a fan of Team Liquid.
Sorry, Badger.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was fine. Tough. You know what?
Honestly, deserved for their choices this year. No, I'm just it did go down 3-1 to TL. It was a tough loss for TL for sure. I think they're going to want that one back after their really nice win over DSG the week before. But I think Lia were just firing on all cylinders. If Delcla was gapping Morgan felt like he had never faced a ranged top laner in his entire life.
We're going to talk about that a lot later on. Yeah.
And then Lia just continued the momentum. I think that's the power of the lower bracket. And Delcla had even said it in his interview. He loves the lower bracket. This is his home. This is where he lives.
It's his comfort zone, honestly.
Then they went on to face Sentinels, went 3-1 against them as well. It wasn't necessarily the same type of performance from Dokla, but he's still pretty consistent. It was mostly inspired, I feel like, in a lot of those cases. And the same could be said for their final victory against C9, 3-1 again. 3-3-1s in a row to win the championship for Lock-In, and really kind of dazing the C9 community in the end in the finals.
And there's a couple of crazy stats that we got from this finals weekend. We're going to, you know, I'll lead with first just Lion in the finals because that's like the big story. And then we'll kind of work our way back. But Inspired, this is the third org that he's won a championship in North America on. And out of the 10 LCS finals he's been in, which is counting LTA Grand Finals and LTA Split 3 Finals. That was a bit of confusion on the broadcast because we were counting it as he's got 6 titles in NA. In his head, he had 5, but technically they were 2 different titles.
He made sure to correct you on that one.
Between Split 3 and Grand Finals. But that was the reason why there was a disconnect. Like, in the moment, it's like, wow, we're not going to, like, like fight on stage about that, right? But like there was a difference in narrative from broadcast versus, you know, the player's perspective. But this now, if you're factoring LTA Grand Finals, out of the 10 finals he's been involved in, he has won 6. That is a 60% win rate in finals.
That's you know, that's pretty good.
That's insane.
Decent record, you know?
Yeah.
Freaking insane.
Maybe I'm not going to add this to it because it's a little bit Debbie Downer. I'm just like, how many teams could really be successful when one person is literally dragging all four other members around the map and telling them what to do in the game? Like, I don't know how successful it's going to be in the grand scheme of things, but it's pretty damn funny to watch.
Saint owes him like an entire week of like Korean barbecue at this point for his fucking performance that he had. Like,
clear these three minions. Go walk sideways.
Yeah,
bit of
in-game coaching going on there. You know, this is the argument against letting the coach be in comms with teams because it would ruin Inspired's whole career. You know, he wouldn't be able to do what he does best.
Inspired would be market corrected if the coaches were able to talk in game. Fair point.
And we need the best jungler in the West. But yeah, they were able to take down C9, who were the heavy favorites, and that was such a shocker, I would say. Almost everybody had C9 as the favorites to win. I had them a 3-0. I was that confident in them just based on how they had looked, but man, they really dropped the ball. So again, working our way back, I think starting with, how do I want to do this? We're already talking about Frigate. Let's just keep it going on the finals. C9 gets a game, and it's their best-looking one by far. No surprise there. But it's game one, and then they just lose the next three in a row. And it is a systematic dismantling of pretty much everybody. I would say, like, Thanatos is arguably the only one that was able to hold his own in a couple of the games. But Blabber, man, like, it's showing time and time again that he just a bit of a choke artist. I hate to say it. I like the guy a lot, but it is 2 finals in a row now that C9 has been in. They were in split 2 finals last year, and then again here where, like, Blabber just chokes. He just makes bad decisions in big, crucial moments, and he gets punished for it. And, Badger, I know that, like, last time there's a lot of community conversation. I haven't really seen too much of it. Has there been community blowback about, like, hey, drop Blabber, it's time to move on for Blabber? Because I know last year he was getting a lot of that.
I haven't seen anything, and it's not the right move to move on from this guy. I mean, he's the best jungler that North America has ever produced. It's not like you're going to get any better at this point from this guy, unless you somehow manage to steal Inspired away from Lion, which I don't think he's going anywhere at this point. He seems pretty locked in onto that team. So, it's just the Blabber performance, I guess. Like, you know, I just always thought it was funny that the conversation of we're in a crab meta right now, and it's just really showing in these games. Like, I really haven't seen anything like calling for Blabber's job at this point. So I think it's I think
there's got to be some questions though, man. Like, yeah, I mean, don't know.
Well, yeah, obviously,
dude. But Inspired was mind controlling him, bro. Like, some of those comms that got released were just hilarious. Like, why is this guy even here? Like, that decision around Wolves, especially. Like, oh my goodness, it was so tough. I don't know if it's one of those situations where like you move on from him, but he's got to find better performances. I think if the rest of the year goes like this, and yes, they were dominating for so much of it, right? But in those big moments, like, I don't know. Maybe C9 looks somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, starting with game one, it was a solid performance overall from both teams. It's pretty much even up until C9's able to kind of run away with it was the first Baron. Yeah, it was just a late Baron. It was like 31 minutes on the clock. And they just find like the right team fight play. Thanatos has a great Embessa game. Blabber's on the Malphite. We're able to engage and get onto Saint. Berserker finally dies, and then C9 can close it out. But then immediately game two, it's like Blabber getting behind on Inspired in the jungle. And then this was the one where Saint had his monster performance. Ahri into APA. at the end of the game had the alt chat where he was like, how the hell do you lose this matchup? He solo kills APA in the mid lane 1v1 and just kind of runs away with it. And from that moment on, it felt like the game was kind of over. From the player's perspective, I got to talk with Inspired afterwards, and he thinks that the series was over after game 3 because C9 backs against the wall, or not backs against the wall, rather, but like a series tied up 1-1. They go for Mel bot lane, which, Mazel, I know that you get pissed off anytime you see a mage down there because you're like, don't ruin my bot lane meta. I don't want to play against
agreed
mages in solo queue. Yeah. Well, I think Sven made it look very balanced because they were not able to find the plays. And this time around, Thanatos is the one that got gapped. It's rare that Thanatos is gapped, but Dokla's Zhen was just too strong, baby.
Stonks are up, baby.
Yeah, he's able to.
I know. China's excited for him to be a first stand.
It's wild that this guy was not on a team until the visa issues happened for Zamuto. Like, we almost didn't see him this split.
Yeah, there's a world where Zamuto shows up and they still pop off, but. Unfortunately, we'll never know because the visa hell that Zamuto was still finding himself in meant that Dokla had to sub in last minute. But again, we all agreed. It's like, if you have a last minute top laner, this is the best that you could possibly pick up. Like, it's crazy. He wasn't even on a team to begin with. And here he is winning another title now.
Now I just need him to make a Bing Chillin' video.
Bing Chillin' Dokla. But then game 4, the series already felt over. Like, C9 just had so little fight left in them by this point that it was like a whimper throughout the early game. First kill, first turret to Lion, like relatively close. But then, again, Blabber on the Wukong. He like, there's two different moments where he's just disconnected from the team and tries to go back in and like use the Cyclone and just doesn't find anything for it. And this time Berserker had the pop-off game, 8-0-3 on Kai'Sa. Really, really solid stuff. So, I think all of us, I can say, pretty surprised, right? I know that you two didn't give your predictions last week on the pod, but Mizell, were you surprised by this finals performance?
I would have had C9 3-2.
Yeah, agreed. Badger?
Yeah, I also would have had him 3-1-3-2 somewhere in that range. So.
Well, thank you for being honest, both of you, because if either of you had been like, no, I actually would have predicted Lion 3-1 across the board.
I think crazy. That Lion would have gone 3-1 in all of their series.
I knew Dokla was going to pop off, bro.
I gave you both the chance. Well, we're going to wait back. The Sentinel series, I think, was the least exciting of the weekend. So we can kind of skim over that one because definitely I think the Team Liquid one was the most fun in terms of narrative and payoff. A big reason for that being, of course, Dokla's performance. But I will say in Sentinel's defense, they looked better than I thought they would. They almost got swept, but they were able to bring it out in the close with a pretty unique draft, I would say. Like, Skarner is not something that I think of winning in, you know, best of five series here, at least not even like in a game 3. Like, if it's a game 5, sure, but Sentinels kind of went deep into their champ pools and also played around Impact Yorick to great effect. Outside of that, though, like, nothing crazy in terms of picks or performances, but still, it's kind of like Berserker showing that he's like the best team fighting AD carry that we have in the league, considerably better than Rahel, who is also pretty good at that job. So, with that being said, Spark Notes for Sentinels Lion. Let's talk about Lion versus Team Liquid, because Mazel, you've already hinted at it. What did Dokla play in the top lane?
Ranged top laners.
Hell.
Imagine.
Yeah, dude.
I was here for it. The vein, the beauties. He started a little bit of beef on Twitter between Rigby and Surdy, which was hilarious. I don't know if you saw that.
I did not. No.
What happened?
Rigby said something. He just like tweeted like Surdy would have never played Vayne on stage or something like that. And then Surdy went through with like a 6-paragraph explanation of like why Vayne is viable right now and why she wasn't viable whenever he was playing. Oh. It was just like, yo, Rigby, out of context, this is kind of ass.
That's very interesting.
It was hilarious. It was very funny. Well, but no, hey, range top laners do crazy things against Korean top laners, I guess.
They do. They really do. And it wasn't just range top laners. It was 80 carries, like Vayne top lane, Varus top lane in game number one. And we got the sideline interview with their coaches, and I believe it was Rigby that we interviewed who mentioned that a big focus in that early game was to limit the champ pool. Because, you know, if you just take away more 80 carries, it'll hurt Jan's ability to, you know, play these power picks later in the game. Because they get both Xayah and Varus early game, or early in the best of five fearless. And then Badger, it just so happens that Dokla on Varus looked pretty freaking clean that, in the Morgans the, Renekton.
This is Varus champion. I hate him so much. Like, God, I can't stand watching. I mean, I like watching him, but like playing against this champion, he's so oppressive. Like this AP Varus build is it does so much fucking damage early for no reason. Like you get the pop off and like you lose like 30% of your health bar and just.
Well, the crazy thing is he didn't even go, like, pure AP. It was experimental Hexplate, Gwinsu's Rageblade, and then Zhonya. So, like, yes, there is AP on it, but it's not, like, the Dusk and Dawn on-hit AP.
If it was Dusk and Dawn, it would have been even more of a shellacking, but considering it was... This is before the Varus nerfs, too, right? Or was it...
I don't remember. I think it was... I mean, it's whatever was just live last weekend. Although, actually, now that I think about it, I don't remember if playoffs is played on the live patch. They might have actually had, like, a stop on those ones we didn't playoffs. Either way, it was disgusting to watch. He's able to get solo kills on a Morgan. He dies twice the entire game in a 37-minute win where the entire team only dies four times. Or, sorry, only dies three times. Dokla is two of those. But it's because he's so heavily focused in the top lane and is still able to just blow open this lead. Then game two's not quite as good, just because you know they go back into the Cassante in the top lane and Morgan very comfortable in that matchup. But then also this was a moment where Jose Dioto kind of has a pop off Zahen game and. A rare instance where Inspired on the Malphite is not really able to get much done in the early game. Even on, like, Malphite level 5, he used to be, like, super, super efficient at just making stuff happen. This time, we're not able to string that together. But then that goes into game 3, where, what do we get? Another counterpick. This one's not a ranged top laner, but Badger, we get the El Clasico counterpick. It's Aurelia in Dinar this time. When's the last time you saw an Aurelia in Dinar?
Broken Blade.
Oh.
Like 2 weeks ago.
Well.
Or whatever. BB played it against.
Damn, it took the wind out of the sails a little bit. Yeah, I was thinking, sorry. Like, this is a classic counterpick years ago. Can we just pretend?
Nar versus Aurelia. Yeah. Where the Aurelia was the counterpick in 84 years.
Well, League wasn't around 84 years ago. We're going to need to rein that in a little bit.
No, there was. I'm pretty sure that. BB played it a couple of weeks ago. Just
okay. Well, that's a little unfair because BB will play literally any champion, and he's on the fast track to also join the top 5 most unique picks. But for LCS, it had been quite a while since we had seen the Aurelia counter pick. It's a classic. It's very hard for Nar to deal with this in the 1v1. And even though Dokla wasn't able to get like a ton done in that 1v1 early on, he drew so much pressure towards himself that the rest of the team was able to just kind of dominate the rest of the map. And also, Dokla had a really clutch, like, kind of end of the game play where he draws people over to him, survives for much longer than Team Liquid was expecting, and Lion are able to close it out. But then that leads into that game 4 where, dude, what the hell is Camille supposed to do against Vayne top lane? Like, can you think of, like,
that's
anything
the neat
Camille's
part.
Allowed
she,
to do?
She can't.
Yep. Hookshot onto a wall. Guess what? You're on a wall. You get condemned and are immediately stunned. You hex psych ultimatum onto the Vayne. Well, they just condemn you back and it cancels out the ultimate. Yeah, it's bad. And this was like good. A really slick look from Team Liquid initially. It was a last pick Vayne for Dokla. And until that Vayne came in, it was actually looking tough. It's like, ooh, it's Ezreal, Ahri into Mundo and Galio, like pretty tanky members. It's going to be hard to take him down. And then Morgan just gets cocky and says, lock me Camille, because they see Ornn, which then gets flexed jungle, which is a... you know, flexible, like, pick. Kobe on the cast was even talking about that, like, yeah, no, Ornn jungle's not bad. But I think it completely blindsided Team Liquid.
I think Inspired just doing Zeke's Convergent Protoplasm on so many different tank junglers is also really smart from him, too. Just, you know, what, it's like 5,300 gold, and or no, not even that, 5,100 gold and is on, like, item spikes.
So. And it opens up. First off, it's just a cheap build, really efficient. But also, if he's playing these tanks in the jungle, it opens up his ability to shot call for the team, because he's not the one that has to execute these really high, you know, stress junglers like Viego, like even Xin Zhao or J4, which are a little more straightforward, but they are like bruiser carries. Nah, just put him out in Malphite. Put him on Ornn. Give him Nocturne, who just presses R and then, like, kind of face slams their abilities.
The combo's going, just the ability to have the go button on a guy like this who's, you know...
Yeah.
Microwing his mid laner while he's doing all of his jungle shit. So, it works out really well for Inspired and, I mean, best player in the West. Like, is it him or is it the other guy? We'll tune into First Stand to find out, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's between Inspired and Caps. These are the only guys in the conversation right now. There's maybe other guys that in current form are playing at a similar level, but when you look at the consistency over time of how long they've been playing this well, Inspired is putting him in the conversation with Caps. I still think it is Caps favored currently. He is the Western GOAT right now.
Mm-hmm.
Until Inspired makes back-to-back Worlds Finals, it's going to be hard to overthrow Caps.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. So.
Yeah, unlikely. But you know, it's still cool to see that a player is performing at a level that is being compared to the Western GOAT. So, love that for Inspired. He's able to get another team, another org, another title. And, yeah, in great fashion, too. So if you missed out on LCS Finals, heavily recommend that you check out Lion versus TL. And then C9 versus Lion, I still think was enjoyable. It was a good Finals. It just did feel like Cloud9 were losing a little bit of heart by the second half of Game 3 and then Game 4 as well. Lion were just dismantling them on the Rift. And... I think that the TL series was a little more exciting for the fact that we had these crazy top lane counter picks, which Dougla didn't really pull out for the rest of the weekend. It definitely was like a prepared for Morgan type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it worked. It worked out for him.
That's all that matters, now, is it worked.
Now the big question before we move on to LEC Badger is, how disappointing is this for C9 compared to past disappointments? Because at this point, C9 fans have to just be used to being disappointed, right? Like, it's been so many times in a row.
The question that you have proposed at this point has not aged very well either, considering their start to America's Cup has not gone well either. So, full context. In case you aren't watching, because, you know, I don't think they've done a really good job of advertising this tournament at this point, but... It's the top two teams from the CBLOL and the top two teams from the LCS, so it's...
not quite. It's the second and third teams from CBLOL.
Or that's what I meant. Like, the second and third from CBLOL and second and third from LCS. That's what I meant. You knew what I was trying to say, but you
correct.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So, it's C9 and Sentinels, and then Furia and Red. And C9 played Furia day one, game one, and they got shellacked, like cyber bullied, especially the game two. Furia plays Yasuo AD carry, and they just gobsmack bot lane. And it just, everything went from bad to worse, and it's not looking good in the C9 camp, and they almost got reverse swept today, like... there was, oh, they're up 2-0, and people are like, oh, C9's back, C9's back, don't worry. And then they lose two games straight, and it's like, is this team going to make it out of Brazil? Like, are they going to be a cohesive unit coming out of Brazil? Who even knows at this point? So luckily they were able to win game five today, but I'm still, this is the biggest fall from grace we've seen in like 5 days from a league team. And
yeah. Like the expectations going into finals, which was last Sunday. Oh my goodness, that was only just five days ago, wasn't that?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, the turnaround for America's Cup was so short. So the difference in expectations from Saturday night going into Sunday, let's even just say Sunday morning of finals, to then Wednesday, 3 days later, where they lose 2-0 to Brazil's third best team, Infuria.
Yeah, the third seed from CB Lol.
Almost get reverse swept by Red Canids Colunga. That's right. We almost got Colunga'd again. Yeah, it always happened 2 years in a row.
Never go full Colunga.
Never go full Colunga. Oh, no. That's pretty good. I'm going to have to use that. But yeah, it is a massive fall from grace. Now, all that being said, for America's Cup, they had to play. They had to fly to Brazil. It was like 25 hours of total travel time. They were jet lagged because they weren't even like really able to scrim before going to stage. They're tired. Apparently, they're starting to feel a little sick as well. So, I mean, cope, excuse. But I do think these are valid. Like, if you're going to be a home team in Brazil, which is 5 hours ahead of LA time, and the teams that you're playing against just traveled for 25 hours and have only been in the country for about 20 hours by the time they take to the stage.
Yeah.
Like, that is a very different, level of freshness that the teams are coming in with. So I will give Cloud9 grace. But it does not take away from how concerning the play looked and the decisions looked. And I will remind everybody that we talked about this on broadcast, but it is now six splits, 3 years total that C9 have finished higher in the regular season than they did in playoffs. They consistently, that is consistency, a 3-year stretch where you are better in the regular season, and then you bomb out at some point in playoffs to the point that it's just a meme now.
When's the last time they made an international tournament?
MSI 2023. That was the last time that they won.
Okay, that's LCS. I was about to say. That's what I thought was it was.
And then losing to NRG broke them like that. It was the NRG loss in summer finals that started the streak of just always finishing lower.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Crazy to think about.
Wild.
Hopefully they can turn it around, though. Hopefully. Because I think I'm a fan of C9. I like it when C9's good. I'm a fan of Blabber. I like it when Blabber's good. It's just tough to see them this many times in a row now kind of choke when it matters the most. Yeah, we'll see if they're able to continue in the lower bracket at America's Cup. Sentinels are looking much better currently. But with that being said, it's time to hop across the pond because we got LEC finals that happened as well. I think LCS finals would be like probably a B+ in terms of the quality of the weekend. I liked a lot of what we saw, but we didn't have any 5-game bangers. LEC, meanwhile, it started off really slow with KCGX and a 3-0 swiftly for KC, but oh my god, the lower bracket finals and grand finals were fantastic. Oh,
it was great. This is exactly what you expect from these teams. I mean, you got G2 and McCoy and KC, and I guess Giant X were also there as well. But
they were present.
They were present. They were in fact in the building at one point this weekend. Right? Yeah, they were there.
Yeah, technically.
yeah, because they played on Friday and they got immediately gobsmacked by That's right. I couldn't remember what day is the.
And then Saturday was KC McCoy, a banger in front of the Spanish crowd as well, because it was McCoy hosting this weekend. Really, really fun matchup there. And it was back and forward, It felt like KC were going to lose. Like, I actually thought that McCoy had it in the back pocket.
I also thought that KC was going to lose. I was like, oh, wow. You know, JoJo's coming out. Supa's firing really well. Having a better performance than Kalist. You know, I was hyping up Kalist Busio as the best bot lane in the West. And I'm like, oh, you know, all this stuff. And then they weren't looking too hot. And then, you know, they were just trading games back and forth. And
It went from Elioia hitting the absolute sick, nastiest Qiyana ult you've ever seen in your life. Hysterics almost lost his entire voice just yelling Elioia.
Elioia.
That call, some people were like, that's cringe when Cassius do that. I thought that was awesome. I love how much he just yelled that dude's name.
Especially when you're in the like home country
of home
the
crowd,
player and pulls, the team. Yeah,
it's a 5 champion Qiyana ultimate. They were winning the game, they had the gold lead already, the game was probably wrapped up, but it was just sick that he pulled it off. Yes, now whenever I think of supreme display of talent, I will think of
Elioia.
I used to think of Damante, our mid lane goat who would play this champion all the time back on Clutch Gaming, but Elioia earns that.
I think
now.
Of Canyon, but that's also because, you know, that's
well, I think of Tarzan.
there he is.
Yeah, you know, we can all think of somebody
There's
else.
There's the Tarzan in this conversation.
But from now on, I'm going to think of Elioia. But it goes from that insane performance to then game 4, which has a very heavily criticized JoJo build on Ahri. So,
oh my gosh.
This was talked about a lot. During the game, post-game, a lot of people, Europeans love to flame JoJo in general. So I think a lot of it is like just them shitting on him. But it's Rod of Ages into Crypt Bloom, which is a very slow to build, not a big power spike early on, kind of defensive Ahri. And Supa was behind on Aphelios. He was struggling. And then you got, like, Poppy Malphite. It's like you don't have a lot of damage if Supa's behind. So the like refusal from JoJo to pivot to building more damage and still going the Crypt Bloom was, like, That's a little awkward that he just did no damage. And you see, like, even when they would find these charms, they would find these, like, avenues to get onto Kyahu or, like, Kalist, they just couldn't kill him. Like, JoJo actually did so little damage until he got the Rabadons, but by that point, it was too late. So I know that was a big point in the show. It was just disappointing to be like, JoJo had a pretty good series, but then that game kind of took the wheels off of them. And it's funny that, like, not as much criticism was laid on Supa for falling behind. It was instead laid on JoJo, and that's where the EU bias comes in. But I still think that there's some truth to it that, like, yeah, that the team did not pivot and play well enough after they were falling behind. And then the 5th game was the most one-sided. Like, by this point, KC just completely
they demolished
shut
them
down. Yeah.
Ran out of gas.
Yike pulling out the Kha'Zix, dude, which we've seen that in LPL, right, Mazel?
I don't think so.
I thought we had seen it in one of the best of fives that just happened. I don't remember which team it was.
No, it wasn't one that
I thought Canyon might have just played it. That's what I would.
I know it was played in one of the Eastern Leagues recently.
I'm looking at
it. But Yike pulling it out with Kana on Akali. And then Kalist piloting the Kalista. They just had so much damage and so much burst between the Kha'Zix and the Akali and JoJo, Elioia.
Lucid played it against T1.
Okay, cool. Maybe
that's one that I was It says it's been 3 times. The most recent would have had to been Junja or Shun in LPL.
Okay.
Because Kroko hasn't played since playoffs started, but I don't even... I'm trying to double check when.
Sure. I know it's been referenced that, like, it's starting to creep up in the Eastern Leagues as well, but it's cool to see Yike pull it out here regardless. Goomba stomped through Supa and Alvaro.
Yeah, so it was last night, or 2 nights ago, in that JDG BLG series, Junja pulled it out. Mm. Or Shun pulled it out, sorry. It went 8-1. Before that, it was a couple weeks ago, maybe like 3 weeks ago, Junja pulled it out against AL.
In that case, Yikes got rookie numbers. He only went 2-1, 2-1-6. But yeah, it was a bit of an unceremonious end to McCoy's season because it was a close series. It was a banger back and forth. Then KC just like giga stomp game five, taking some wind out of the sails in the best of five. But Badger, one series that did not lose the wind in its sails was the grand finals. KC worked their way back. They have to fight through Giant X. They have to fight through McCoy to get a rematch against G2, who sent them into the lower bracket to begin with. And holy shit, that was a good series.
G2 was in their bag to start this one. They had the Shen come out, or there's the conversation of, oh, is it Shen Jungle? Or are we getting the tech? What's going on with this? And then it's just BB's playing it into the Ambessa. It's a halfway decent matchup because you just block the auto attacks. Everything's working out really well. G2 comes out firing, wins game one handedly. Game two, we see Nefiri Jungle come out from Yike, and then it's, oh, Yasuo top lane, Mundo jungle, the Ashe Seraphine, you know, this meta bot lane that
Yasuo
we see.
Yasuo into Gwen
is insane.
You can't really wind wall much. Like, the needle works, sure, but the snip still gets you. Like, it's really tough matchup, but Broken Blade played it really well. Dude, when they pulled off caps onto Leo, Weaver's walled. I don't even remember. I think it was Yike. I don't remember exactly who he hit, but he hit somebody with the Weaver's wall,
yeah.
And then Broken Blade uses last breath
off
the
Weaver's
wall.
Was insane. I'm like, oh,
that
G2
was so cool.
Feeling it. Oh, man, this is going to be a short day for KC.
That was freaking awesome, man.
But we were proven wrong. Came out. Game three, you know, backs against the wall. Yahoo plays Ahri. You get the rumble from Kana into the Ornn.
The early game goes in G2's favor. Like, they get the first, like, three, I think it's, like, the first five kills. They're, like, 5-0, but Yahoo's still farming. Kana's pushing in every time. Like, they're winning the CS battle and getting some plates for their solo laners. And then suddenly it's, like, Skewmon gets caught out as Pantheon and goes down. Labrov gets caught out a couple of times. Caps finally starts getting caught out, and then it's like, yeah, the wheels just start falling off for G2 because Carmine Core just chained together like a couple of picks and then turn that into a gold lead for themselves and then start running away with the neutral objectives.
KC was playing the map really well. They were getting dragons. They were getting the turrets. They were just making sure that the gold trades were even and even kind of gold positive in certain situations, just based on if you count like CS and like XP and stuff like that. But it was the beginning of it, like, oh, there's a glimmer of hope in here for KC in the finals. Like, let's see, you know, is it going to be a gentleman sweep or are we going to go to game five? And then
game four happens, and it's
and
like
four
more in G2's favor. Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
This should have been a 5-0. Like, G2. They just kept getting, like...
I can see Dylan Falco writing 5-0 LEC Grand Finals in his notebook if everything goes according to plan, like he does in those scrim tracking stuff. But
It was, like, G2 again getting first blood, controlling the early objectives, they get the one and only Baron of this game, but then they lose two dragon fights in a row. The first one, not really as much of a fight, more of just like a skirmish case you're able to take it. But then the last dragon fight turns into like a setup around the Baron. KC win it. They don't even need the Baron. They just close out the game. Like, it was that fast, that explosive, and that well executed by specifically Kalista and Busio. Like, very impressed with this bot lane. And Kana lands a sick, nasty, like, four-man flash Gnar ult at the setup. And then Busio is able to follow up with the quickness and, like, lock everyone down. Kalista and Kiawe are free firing. Like, holy shit, that was such a beautiful team fight win.
Oh my gosh. And then, you know, these banger games back and forth. It's, you know, good League of Legends. They're playing the map really well. And then game five happens and it's the most yakety sacks, like, like, oh my gosh. There's some really good plays in here, but there are also some really boneheaded moments in here as well.
This was a bare knuckle brawl of a game five, dude.
This was, you know what? Screw, like, macro, like, forget playing the map. We're just going to have a bar fight for game five. Like, they just, they met backstage and they're like, you know what? There's a UFC fight years ago where the guys are just like, the last 10 seconds, they just say, no blocking, only throwing punches, like, whatever, we don't care. This is way too long. This is 46 minutes of them just throwing punches back and forth at each other.
This is G2, win a fight, get Baron, lose some embers, still get the next dragon. Then get the next Baron, use that to get the next dragon. Then somehow botch the Elder fight. Case, you're able to pick that one up. Or rather, not the Elder fight, but like the setup around the Elder. And so instead they trade for the Baron, and then nothing happens for 5 minutes, and then another Elder into another Baron into a push and end the game. There were 4 Barons and 2 Elder Dragons in this game. Insane.
There's
almost 50 minutes. It was a 46-minute banger.
Setting up for it, there's one point where it's Kana and Yahoo versus Caps and Labrov and this just random 2v2 in the river just to set up for Dragon, and whoever wins it gets Soul. And G2, oh my gosh, there's just so many ways. You have to, if you can only watch one game, watch this game. Like, this is genuinely the most
that
entertaining game.
His play was crazy.
Yep.
Oh my
dude,
God.
It's so hard to kill fucking Anivia. You got the egg, and you got the Zhonya's picked up, and you got the Rod of Ages, so you're tanky already. Also, Skewmon pulling out the Skarner as well, so we got to see a couple of Skarners between LCS and LEC this weekend. I will say, funnily enough, this was the one game that Broken Blade got pretty gapped. Like, why am I blanking on his name right now? I keep saying, thinking Scarl. It's not Scarl. Kled. There we go. Kled rides Skarl. Yeah. The Kled pick, not really working out. I usually love Broken Blade and his kind of wacky carry champions. This time around was not what the team needed. But you know what they did need? Another Caps carry, dude. You talked about Inspired, best in the West when it comes to LCS. Caps, 9-1-7 on the Anivia. The primary carry for this team. It got a little yaggity-saxy, but still, Caps was able to get them across the finish line, and another title. How many titles is it for Caps at this point? I've completely lost track. I've lost count. It's got to be, like, 10-plus.
I think he's at 11 is the number.
That's so many titles, dude.
It's so many titles.
Many freaking titles. He's been playing since, what, 2017?
Yeah.
Was the Fnatic finals his rookie year, or was that his sophomore year?
It was his sophomore year, because he was at 17 Worlds, because he was the mid laner in the Paranoia 5 minutes into the game from Levi, and that was the year before he joined 100 Thieves.
Oh, he was? Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, he was the
I remember the Paranoia play. I don't remember who they were against. Okay, so that would be 2017, because 2018 is when he would have made Worlds finals then. So, I guess that is, in the long run, then, we're in his 10th year now, so, like, just nine years. I feel like it might even be more than 11 at that point, but still, Caps is the GOAT in Europe, in LEC, and G2 won the finals versus KC. They should have been able to close it out in Game 4, probably should have been able to play a cleaner Game 3 as well, but, hey, you know, they'll take a 5-0 at the end of the day. who predicted it? Did any of us predict G2 still being the best at the end of the split? They were 7th seed going into the playoffs.
I'm gonna be honest, no. KC.
Yeah. Hey, they made it close. They were able to make it to the finals.
Busio,
baby. And funnily enough, we did have G2 and KC in our S tier category, and we had Koi and GX in the A tier. Who were the top 4, baby? You goddamn right. It was GX, Koi, KC, G2. Just don't look at our Na'Vi placement, and don't look at our Vitality placement. Actually, Vitality was kind of up there.
Hold on.
Yeah, you know what? Now that I'm looking at this again, I think Na'Vi was really the only egregious one that we had. We had more faith in Shifters, but that was because Jamada psyoped us into moving them up when in reality they
we're not able to qualify for playoffs. So if we had kept them lower and had Na'Vi higher, that would have been pretty accurate for us in terms of power rankings going in. But either way, that's how LEC finals shaped up. What do you think, Badger? Is G2 going to be one of the big dogs at first stand now that there's two LCK and two LPL teams? Do you think that they like perform well enough that you think they're a threat?
So the way that the draw goes, Mizell, correct me if I'm wrong in this situation, but I'm pretty sure LCK 1 plays LPL 2 and like vice versa, like LPL 1 plays LCK 2. So there might be, they might be safe because they could either draw... Gosh, it would either be Secret.
Is that how it works? I haven't looked at the bracket.
Pretty sure that's how it works.
Stand, actually.
Secret. Honestly, G2 Lion, like, at the beginning, give me it. Give me Eddie versus EU to start. Yeah.
I have very little faith, actually, in Lion to win that series. I mean, I'll hope. I'll still be the blind NA fan. But if
it's a group stage. Never mind. It's not like a
I
big
thought it
bracket.
Was groups. Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. We still have to draw.
I was thinking of. I've been watching a bunch of Valorant, and they just did a.
Nice.
I think you're right in terms of the groups. Sorry to cut you off. I think you're right in terms of like LPL first and LCK second getting drawn into the same group.
Yeah, because
not
it's split up.
They're going to be against each other.
It's split up to where each group has one pool. One team, two pull two teams, and one pull three teams. So there will be a first seed, a second seed in each group from respective LCK, LPL, and then there will also be the other regions added.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Oh, BNK, Phyrex,
and it's being drawn by Tien and Crisp, you know, the FPX duo. So they're jobless, so they had to find something to do.
Get them on the broadcast. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, we'll keep our eyes on first hand going forward. Like Mizell had highlighted, we will know. Sorry, is between which LPL teams they're still fighting for it, Mizell?
So JDG Weibo is tonight, and then whoever wins will go on to face BLG in the finals. But whoever wins this next series tomorrow, will be the second LPL representative.
So JDG Weibo, one of those two, will be joining BLG. At first stand, excited to see, and excited for everybody to tune in next week to hear all about our first stand preview. This week was all about LCS, LEC, and a little bit of America's Cup, which we were able to cover. Mizell, we didn't get any of your thoughts on America's Cup. Have you been following along with the action between CBLOL and LCS? What are your thoughts on C9? We already
C9
talked a little bit
frauds.
About how sad it was. Yeah.
They're frauds.
Hey, Sentinels look good, though. Sentinels, yeah.
That's not who I wanted to look good.
Yeah.
Hey, but
Darkwing's
though? Darkwing?
Yeah.
Darkwing sucks. Let's go.
Dude, he's kind of popping off. We don't have as much time to talk about America's Cup just because it's kind of like this little for-fun tournament in between first stand and the end of LEC-LCS. So happy to keep it just kind of in the back burner. But we'll cover more of what happens this weekend for it. But if you're listening to this and there are still games to be played, which would be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, check them out on the LCS channel. It starts at 1 p.m. Pacific time, 4 p.m. Eastern time. Or if you're in Brazil, that'd be 5 p.m. your time. We got best of fives.
And don't miss the LPL finals on LPL underscore English on Twitch.
Check that out too. Hell yeah. Love that plug. But that's going to be it for this episode of the LEC-LCS finals reaction. Badger, if anybody listening has some time in their day and wants to, you know, pay it forward a little bit, and they think about giving us a review on the podcast, how many stars would you recommend they leave for us?
They should give us as many stars as Caps has won titles, which is like actually like 16 now that I've done the math, but that's that's impossible. So 5 will do at this point.
Just max
it
out.
We were so far off, by the way. 10, 11. It's 16.
If I counted this correctly, Caps has won 16 titles in the LEC.
What a beast. Hey. Hold on, though. Caveat. They had 3 splits before anybody else did, all right?
That's a really good point, actually.
True.
Those 3 titles, right?
Okay, take like 5 or 6 of those off just based on that.
Even if we take away 3 of those regions. 3 years, they've had triple.
That's crazy. All right. Well, shout out Cap. Shout out both of you for coming on. Thank you so much, guys, for being here for another week of the League Rundown. But most importantly, thank you, everybody who listens week in and week out. We love you, and we'll see you next time.
Goodbye, hit it, Kyle.
Oh, yes, Daddy.
And then one for the road.
And the big pickle pickle. We'll be right back.